The belief that King David lived, Begin understood, was imbibed from generation to generation, forged in humble Jewish homes, taught by parents to children, creating a covenantal memory in a people unlike any other. That is why David's dream of Zion remained in every Jewish heart. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 300, 10 Teachings of Jerusalem, King David Lives. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayem. David, King of Israel, lives and endures. As I noted in my book Providence and Power, this Talmudic maxim, pronounced by adults with reverence, put to music and sung by children at a young age, has helped keep alive the memory and the vision of the King of Jerusalem who died millennia ago. The origin of this phrase comes from the Talmud, when Rabbi Judah, a descendant of King David, sought to secretly proclaim the coming of the new moon, the new month in the Jewish calendar, at a time of persecution. The code for announcing the sighting of the light of the moon in the midst of the darkness was the phrase, David, King of Israel, lives and endures. And we must understand the profound poetry behind this secret sign. The medieval sage Rabbeinu Bachya looks to the moon to see a symbol and summation of the Davidic dynasty. There are around 30 days to the lunar cycle. The moon waxes and is full at 15. It then wanes, and in 15 days from its fullness, it is gone. There were 15 generations from Abraham to Solomon. It was Solomon who built the temple, marking the most radiant moment in Jewish history, God's presence in Jerusalem at its fullest. But the Davidic dynasty descended from there. 15 generations from Solomon brings us to Zedekiah, the last Davidic king of Judah. The darkness of the night in the lunar cycle, betokening his own blinding at the hands of the Babylonian. And yet we know that the moon, one day after disappearing, shows the faintest, palest luminosity. And similarly, Jewish hope did not die. And that is why one of the phrases recited by Jews as they proclaim a blessing every month on the appearance of the new moon is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. David, King of Israel, lives and endures. In the minds and hearts of Jews around the world, and especially in the city of Jerusalem that he created, the spirit of that man and monarch lives on. To say that the biblical David still lives is to say that David's vision, his statesmanship, his leadership, his joining of politics with faith matters as much today as it did in the 10th century BCE. And today, Jerusalem reminds us of all that David believed and of its enduring truth. What is David's vision? It is first, as revealed in the Psalms, that God can be sought and encountered in every aspect of our lives. The writer Thomas Cale has called the Psalms of David a, quote, treasure trove of personal emotions and a unique early roadmap to the inner spirit, end quote. And he added that while most ancient literature does not take us into the interiority of the writer, the Psalms of David, quote, reassure us that 3,000 years ago, people laughed and cried just as we do, bled and cursed, danced and leapt, that our whole repertoire of emotions was theirs. So Cahill wrote, and this is exactly correct, but to his eloquent description, one more point must be added, which is that every one of the Psalms, poetry and prayer that run the gamut of the human spirit, is addressed and dedicated to God. David composed the Psalms when he defeated his enemies and when he was fleeing from them, when he was enraptured by the study of the Torah and when he had sinned, at moments when his kingship was in profound danger and at moments that it was profoundly secure. There was no part of his life in which God did not have a role, and David thereby teaches us to seek the same. But of course, to say that King David lives is to say that Jewish history and the story of Jerusalem, above all, reflects the central tenet of David's worldview, a worldview reflected in his own seeking to crown his capital with the temple of God. The belief that the God of Israel is behind the miraculous tale of his people, and that this itself must inspire courageous action in defense of Jerusalem and in defense of God's covenantal nation. This is the theme that we have struck throughout the series. And if I have concluded Jerusalem 365 with many episodes about Menachem Begin, it is because I believe that in the modern age, he truly embodied, internalized, and taught David's vision of Jerusalem from Jerusalem, combining courageous action with humble faith and understanding as well that the constancy of the mantra, David, King of Israel, lives and endures, is in its own way the best form of a self-fulfilling prophecy, meaning that the vision of Jerusalem can only be perpetuated if we recall all the Jews in every generation that proclaim David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Only if we remember their sacrifices, only if we make their faith our own. Thus, Begin, who described Israel's capital as Jerusalem, D.C., David's city, would launch a revolt against the British and seek the independence of Jerusalem, but remember standing on the Altalena, the vision of Jewish unity that Jerusalem taught. And many decades later, in a location named Camp David, he, as Prime Minister of Israel, would come to make peace, but would still refuse to sacrifice, in any way, the Jewish claim to the city of David. The belief that King David lived, Begin understood, was imbibed from generation to generation, forged in humble Jewish homes, taught by parents to children, creating a covenantal memory in a people unlike any other. That is why David's dream of Zion remained in every Jewish heart. Thus, I conclude our series with the quote with which I concluded my book. How it was that, in speaking from the White House at the 1978 celebration of the Camp David Accords, Prime Minister Begin, at the summit of his statesmanship, chose not to focus on himself or even on the creators of modern Israel, but on all those that had come before, saying, "This is the proper place and the appropriate time to bring back to memory the song and the prayer of thanksgiving I learned as a child in the home of my father and mother that doesn't exist anymore because they were among the 6 million people, men, women, and children, who sanctified the Lord's name with their sacred blood, which reddened the rivers of Europe from the Rhine to the Danube, from the Bug to the Volga, because, only because, they were born Jews, and because they didn't have a country of their own or a valiant Jewish army to defend them, and because nobody, nobody came to their rescue, although they cried out, 'Save us, de profundis,' from the depths of the pit and the agony. That prayer is the Song of Degrees, written 2,500 years ago, when our forefathers returned from their exile to Jerusalem, to Zion." At that moment, as Begin placed a kippah on his head and recited in Hebrew the psalm describing the restoration of Zion, he remembered those that had lived in the darker times of Jewish history, but who continued to look for the light, who continued to mark the cycle of the moon and to believe and draw hope therefrom that renewal, light, was yet to come, proclaiming in the midst of the darkness that King David lives. Jewish leaders, in their greatest moments, draw on the spirit of those they lead and on the faith of those that came before. The story of Jerusalem that we have told is about the yearnings of a people, their connection to a city, a connection founded in the belief that David still lives. This is why, millennia after David reigned in Jerusalem, he reigns still in our own hearts. Why today, Jews still proudly proclaim that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. To you, the listeners of this series, I express my profound gratitude. Thank you for sharing with me this journey through the history of David's city, and may the vision of David be forever enshrined in our souls. This is Meir Soloveitchik, thanking you for joining me. Signing off.